Well, this is a blessing tonight to be able to share. I'm just so blessed to be able to share this and to be able to see all the things that, you know, there's so many things that are healing from the Word. And by no means is this in any particular order except for the first one where we go to God first and then we spend and we're around believers who love us and who will edify us and bless us and who will pray for us or minister to us so that we can receive the healing that we need. In a way, we're pretty spoiled because we have so many people around us that do love us, that do edify us and do bless us. And for that, I'm really thankful. I was blessed on Monday night to be able to share in the Northern Area for the Northern Area Fellowships coordinators. And that was, again, such a blessing to see all the great people that hold forth God's word in their homes. And just, again, to see the hearts of those guys just really, really blessed me. So, and thirdly, if we are unable to rise up to the believing that we could possibly, and we're still not feeling well, then we go to third aid, which is we go seek a medical professional and allow them to do what they do, and then we do our best to follow what they say and watch our bodies heal. But God's the only one that can really heal. So tonight, I'd like you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. If I were going to title this teaching, which I don't always do, I would title it, Watch Your Mouth. Watch Your Mouth. I just made that up on the spot. How spontaneous of me. Ephesians 1. And in verse 19, it says, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And of course, here in Ephesians 1, this is the first great prayer in Ephesians, part of it anyway. What's the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of the church, head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In healing, you know, when we're talking about healing, our confession needs to be what the Word of God says, no matter what the senses around us say, no matter what our reasonings are, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the deal is. Our confession needs to be that of what the Word of God says. Here it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do what?
Believe.
Man, oh man, the exceeding greatness. It would be nice if it just said, and what is the power? But it says, it would be great if it said, and what is the greatness of his power? It says the exceeding greatness. That which even exceeds greatness of his power to us who believe. Our confession's got to be that, what the word says, no matter what's flying around. And we all live in this cuckoo world, and we know that a lot flies around all of us because this world's run by the crummy one, the adversary. But God's greater, he's stronger, and we'll see that again today, what God's word says, rather than what our senses says. And here it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? Well, it's just so great. I'd like to read from this little book that many of you have read many times. And in chapter 4 of the Bible Tells Me So, it's The Synchronized Life. It says, whatever a person believes is directly reflected in what he confesses. What a person confesses in his innermost being is what he brings into manifestation of his life. You know what that means? Whatever a person really believes in the depths of their heart, that's going to come out It says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? So whatever's in there comes out. And sometimes it's not what we'd really want it to be. Or at least for me. If a person goes through life confessing he has great need, he'll definitely have great need. Mm. If he confesses sickness, he'll continue to be sick and afflicted because the law that when one believes in the depths of his soul absolutely appears in his life. The synchronized life is simply stated by this formula. I went to physical therapy. I got to share this with him. Confession of belief yields receipt of confession. That's it. If you confess with your mouth at the same time that you confess in your heart what the word says, you're going to have power. Your prayers will be answered as you apply these keys in your life by your action. Thus, the abundant resources of heaven are made available to you. But likewise, if you simultaneously confess with your mouth and heart the negatives of the world, you will manifest these crippling negatives. Confessions are reality to you. In your heart, you know he's Lord because you believe God raised him from the dead. And when you confess that you're a new creature in Christ, old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new according to your confession. You'll see that. If you confess you're a son of God and the Bible says that you're a son, then you're a son of God. The word declares that the devil both was and is defeated. It stipulates he has no legal rights over the Christian. If Satan has no legal rights over the Christian, why do you want to confess that he has power over you? Every time you make a negative confession, you're contradicting God's word. If the devil's power is defeated as it is, then his power cannot touch you when you believe the word. But you got to confess that the word, that you know the power of God in your life. You must confess what God says in his word, and then the word you dare, you are what the word says you are, and act on what the word teaches. You'll find that your prayers are answered. And the whole chapter is just filled with, it's a great, great chapter. Take 5 minutes to read it. Go to Romans chapter 10. And for us that are, you know, all of us here are believers. We're all Christian. We all are born again. And I got to share that with this guy today too. You know, I go, what do you do for your spiritual nurture and growth? And he said, well, I'm a Catholic. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. And he laughed. And I said, so you have a lot of guilt going on in your life, right? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I haven't been to church in a long time. And so that just opened a bunch of doors to speak more of the word to him. But for everyone, whether they're a Baptist or a Pentecostal or whoever's born again is our brothers and sisters. But look here in Romans, Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The miracle, now listen to this. I don't know why. It struck me yesterday as something huge. The miracle of all miracles, where God brings, well, it says he's brought us from death unto life, from the power of Satan to the power of God. He's, at that moment of salvation, we're born again, we're heaven bound, where we'll be happy the rest of our lives. And that's a long time because we'll live eternally. The miracle of all miracles happened as a result of confession. Jesus, our Savior, believed God raised him from the dead, and we got born again. It's unbelievable. It's just so. And the word confess is the word homologeo. And that word confess means to say the same thing to another. It means to agree with. It means not to refuse what's said. Wow. Not to refuse what's said. It means not to deny. And it also means to declare boldly. So we confess, we declare boldly what God's word says. We don't deny what God's word says. We agree wholeheartedly with what God's word says. And we don't refuse what it says. That's confession. What a tremendous word. Look at 1 John 4. What did I say the title of this teaching was?
Watch Your Mouth.
Watch Your Mouth. That's pretty good. That's a good title.
Yep.
Nice going. 1 John 4. And in verse 15 it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Can you imagine that? That God dwells in us? The Creator of the heavens and the earth dwells in us. Sometimes we just read the Bible too quickly, or we're too interested in Aramaic and in figures of speech and everything else. We should ought to really just read the Word. God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 1 John 1:9, right around the corner. This is a verse that I shared with this Catholic physical therapist today. Because, you know, sin consciousness runs rampant. Guilt runs rampant. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, verse 9, and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have seen through the 52 years or 1 year I've been in the Word, that's probably one of the biggest contributors to believers' demise. Or believers, I don't know, when they're not doing good, a lot of times this comes up. Sin consciousness. Condemnation. And I think maybe next week I'm going to teach on forgiveness. Because, honestly, that's just one of the big ones. Not accepting God's forgiveness. Here it says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, in the Old Testament says he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. It says he doesn't remember them. And yet, we feel compelled to remember our sins. Or we feel compelled to just dog ourselves or let the adversary dog us about our sins. And we got to cut it out. I can't change what I did yesterday. I can't change what I said. I can't change what I did. If what I said and what I did at certain points weren't great, well, I know God forgives me. And I can't sit around and worry about it. If I've done something to hurt somebody's feeling, I can say I apologize. But more importantly, I apologize to God and keep moving. And that's something that's hard for believers to take. And if we want to be healed, one of the things we got to do is know that God does forgive us. If we get attacked mentally or spiritually or physically, set a habit pattern of saying what God's word says, whether we feel like it, you know, whether our senses feel like it, whether any of that stuff, confess the word. You'll be better off for it. Probably get healed. Probably get the help you need. And we're not screwing around here. This is God's word. I said to this guy today, it's kind of cool. I said, "What's your standard for living?" He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, everybody has standards for why they believe what they believe. What's yours?" He goes, "Well, there's a lot of them." And I go, "Yeah, well, I understand that." He said, "What's yours?" And I said, "The Bible. The Bible is my standard for my life. If I have a problem, then it's got to be in the Bible because it has all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. It's got to be in there." So when we're attacked physically, spiritually, mentally, confess the word. I know there's been times, Dr. Roy used to refer to as the dark night of the soul, where there are things that really trouble us, and I understand that, and you can't sleep at night. So what do you do? You know, when that happens to me, I speak in tongues. I speak in tongues, until eventually I fall asleep. Because then I know I'm doing something to settle me down because it's rest in my soul. See, we're too quickly removed from the things that God wants us not to be removed from. which is the word, to declare it boldly, to agree with it, to not to deny it, to not to don't refuse what's said. It's a tremendous truth. James chapter 4. There's been many times in my life when I feel like God has mixed me up with somebody else because he's blessed me so much. Because I know, you know, that song Unworthy, I get that. I get it. But he made me worthy, you know. And now by his grace. Man, that song's pretty accurate. Look at this James 4 business. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The word submit is that word hupotasso, which means to properly arrange. A military term, which is a voluntary attitude of cooperating to your superiors. You know, lieutenant, you're a sergeant, the lieutenant says jump and you jump, you know, or whatever. That's what this word comes from, to properly arrange. It also means to obey. Submit yourselves to who? What's it say? Read it. Verse 7. Submit yourselves to who?
God.
God. Thank you. Eyes in the book. Submit our lives towards God. Be subservient to God and his word. Follow God. Obey God. Okay? And the way we do that is find out what it says in his word, and then we say what the word says. We do our best to confess what God's word says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then it says to resist. Resist means to stand against. It means to oppose. So we submit ourselves to God, and by doing that, we oppose. Then it says, and he will flee from you. Remember Matthew 4, you know, the temptations of Jesus Christ by the devil himself. Boy, eventually the devil had to leave because of the word that Jesus Christ confessed. Well, you think it's any different for us? We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Said God is in and dwelleth in you. Flee. Flee from you. You know what that word flee is? Run away. Resist. Stand against the adversary by submitting yourself to God, and he's got to go. He's got to go. He'll flee. He'll run away. He'll vanish. So awesome. So we say and we believe what God's word says. We confess it. We agree with it wholeheartedly. We refuse to not believe it. We don't deny it. We follow it. We resist. We stand against the adversary by submitting ourselves to God. And he vanishes. He's got to go. And we have a mighty name of Jesus Christ that helps that along too. But we say and believe what God's word says. Go to Psalm. Book of Psalms. Ah, gosh, I'm blessed. Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge. A refuge is a place of safety. 46, 1. Good Lord, you act like you're learning the books of the Bible tonight. Get moving here. He's our refuge, our place of safety. And he's our strength, a very pleasant help in time of trouble, in time of affliction, in time of anguish, or in time of distress. God is our safety when we get pressure, when we get mentally afflicted, when we get anguish, or we get distressed, or we get stressed out. You know, one of these past weeks when I was teaching on healing, I talked about how, you know, stress is one of the main reasons people get sick. It is. It's one of the main, we've known that for years. Here is a stress reliever. He's God is our refuge. He's our strength. Look at first. Well, you know 1 John. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of who?
God.
Little children. And have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in what?
World.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you. That's another, you know, there's so many terms in the word that describe Christ in you. Christ in you is one of them. The inner man is one of them. The inward man. The new creation. Here it's he that is in you. He that is in you is Christ. And he that is in you, which is Christ in us, is greater, bigger, stronger than anything that the adversary has. And it says, you are of God, little children. Too often times we try to fake people out by our intelligence or, you know, we want to put on a front. We don't need to. We're little children. God looks at us as little children. I have some little grandchildren. And, you know, they're little. They don't know much. You help them. You love them. You guide them. You guard them. You protect them. You feed them. You pants them. You take care of them. You fight for them. You do anything to help them. And we're just humans. God calls us little children for a reason. Don't act like you know so much. Don't act like, you know, we're not great, but what's in us is great. We're not so great. Take a look around, but not don't take your time with that. Look quick. We're all imperfect human beings. Can you imagine how many mistakes that you've seen me make in the 42 years I've been here? The stupid things I've said or the things that I've blown or screwed up on? There's been plenty. But I also, some of you have had some issues. At times. And there's not one of you in here, let me look, that I haven't talked to about some of these things more than once. Except for George. Well, George is pretty much perfect. We know that. But doggone it, man. Greater is he that is in us than in he that is in the world. How about that for confessing? How about that for declaring that boldly, to not deny that truth? And this is all in light of healing. Just think, if we do this consistently, the healing wholeness that it will help us with in our minds, in our hearts, and in our bodies. Fantastic truth. Romans 8. I think like maybe the first five times I ever taught, maybe even more, I just get one of those little collateral readings and read it. Those things sure did help me. And like I've shared many times before, those collateral readings, what I would do is I would read those things, and if there was something to apply, I wouldn't read another one until I applied that and saw it come to pass. And boy, that's a great way to learn. You don't have to have all this knowledge. What are we applying in our lives? What are we seeing in our lives? I'd rather know three verses and believe them than to have the whole Bible memorized. I guess Nikita Khrushchev had the Gospels memorized. But, you know, I don't know if it did him very much good. Romans 8, verse 37. They and all these things were more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. That's what God's word says. We ought to confess that. And Paul said by revelation, for I am what?
Persuaded.
persuaded that neither death nor life. These are heavy circumstances, death, life, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't it nice to be loved by somebody? Just think of how great it is when you're loved by someone. When you know someone loves you. That in itself is a very healing reality. But to think that the creator of the heavens and the earth loves us. And no matter what any of the circumstances might be, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height or depth, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, nothing. That reality and that confession alone ought to stitch up our hearts and help us. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Boy, we've had a great summer. So many things that we've done and gotten blessed by. The Word of God and the believers we've gotten to spend time with. I just think of how healing that has been and is always. Chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Sure, you get tired. Everybody gets tired. I'd rather get tired in doing stuff and well-being than just doing stuff. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Boy, oh boy. So oftentimes we quit right before the deliverance is about to happen. Abraham and Sarah didn't quit. And that was over 20 years after they heard the promise. The impotent man near the pool didn't quit. Jesus asked him, "Do you will?" The man at the temple gate didn't quit. After being lame from his mother's womb for He was over 40, right? He was over 40. You know, those are some years. But now let's really talk about someone. Noah. 120 years building something that nobody knew what the hell he was doing. Everybody laughed at him. Criticized him. And I know he must have spoken God's word. Because the first usage of preacher is used in reference to Moses, Noah. It says he was a preacher of righteousness. 120 years building something that nobody knew about. Yeah, God. Did God deliver him? Did he?
Yes.
How long did it take? 120 years for him to see what he needed to see. 120 years, 22 years or 25 years, whatever it was with Abraham and Sarah. What must have gone, their minds had to be steeled. And of course, it says so. Well, go to Romans real quick. It's 4, I think. Romans 4, yeah. Verse 20, this is talking about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he remembered what God promised. I imagine, you know, he had to confess what God's word said, what God told him. See, tremendous truth. But Galatians says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we'll reap in due season if we don't faint. You always faint in your mind before you faint in your body. And one way to avoid fainting is having our mind disciplined to think what God's word says. We confess what it says. We agree what it says. We don't deny what it says. Psalm 27. Oh, come on, Jerry. I'm going to be the last one. There it is. No, it isn't. 27th Psalm, verse 1 and 2. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" This is David's confession. His confession of belief. "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my own enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell." I wonder what that, well, how much it had to do with him declaring, "The Lord is his light. The Lord is his salvation. Whom shall I fear?" He confessed the word. Psalm 27. Oh, we just read Psalm 27. Well, let's read verse 4. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." What a great verse. He desired and he sought after that he could just stand for God, that he could dwell in the house of the Lord for his whole life. I love that. Look at verse 14. "Wait on the Lord." Wait on the Lord. We jump out of the car too quick. We flip out too quick. Wait. We live in a country and a world that just pushes us to move fast. Everything's fast, fast. And we deem it, or many deem it, that if it doesn't move fast, it's not moving right. It's got to move fast. Everything's fast. What, and how many times have I said it? Take it easy. Just slow your Mustang down. Take it easy. Settle yourself and let God rock you in his arms. Let him love you. Ah, he just loves you. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What a verse. What a thing to remember. What words of God to confess. The greatest, almost, well, it's good to witness to yourself. It's good to speak the word to yourself. The more we do that, the more. And when life hits us, our confession, our immediate response will be God's word. It'll be God's word. We've placed it there in our hearts. Right there. And today when I was sharing with the physical therapist as I was leaving, I put my hand on his heart and I said, "That's what God looks at." That was my exit. It was great. I dropped the mic. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. Don't you just love to speak the word to people? I do. And it's, you know, he was great. Jeremiah 32 in verse 27. It says, "Behold," well, verse 26 says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Well, now let's just think about that. If Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. And he said this here to Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for thee? And it doesn't contradict anything that's in our administration. Well, is there anything too hard for God?
No.
How about your broken heart? Is that too hard for God to heal? I hear people too often talk about how they've been hurt and that's why they don't do anything. Well, you know, I like to say get in line. All of us at times have had things that have hurt us, but we've also had a God that has healed us. I was sharing that with Bill and Annette last night. After Joyce fell asleep, I knew I couldn't live alone. I'm just not made that way. I need a wife. I need someone, a companion. And God provided for me just so incredibly with Diane. I mean, she's not like Joyce, but she is as committed as Joyce. And that's, you know, God's good. Did that hurt when she fell asleep? It hurt all of you. It hurt everyone. But God heals those things. He just has a way to do that if you let him. If you let him. There's nothing too hard for God, and we ought to confess that the next time we're about ready to jump off the roof. So, Psalm 118. And I don't know how he does these things, but that's his problem. He's the one that's made the promise. Verse 17 of Psalm 118, it says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Declare and share God's word every day. First to yourself, and then share it with other people. It's fun. About as good as fun you'll ever have. Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 21. And this, of course, is... this is the woman with the issue of blood. Verse 26 was with disease with an issue of blood. 12 years. Came 12 years. 12 years with an issue of blood. In another place it said she spent all her money on doctors but didn't get better but got worse. Right. 12 years she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she had said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Wow. But Jesus turned about him. And when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. She obviously had heard of the healing power that Jesus Christ had. Sought him out. And for whatever it was that she had heard about him, she believed God that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. I've seen this healing before where people have just touched somebody. They got healed. They touched somebody and the person they touched got healed. I've seen it a million times. Touch can either be something that's a real blessing or it can be something that's very destructive. But when God, you know, this woman, she believed that 12 years, something. Every day, it would be a good idea for us to start our day before we even get out of bed. by praying. And if you're too foggy to think in English, speak in tongues. Or Spanish. And confess the word. You know? Years ago, Reverend Cummins exhorted us when we woke up in the morning and look in the mirror to say, "Behold, the glory of the Lord." That gets harder and harder to do as we get older, isn't it? But confess the word. "This is the day that which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Something like that. It's a good way to start our days, I would say. Look at Isaiah 58. I love this life, man. I love this life. It's just, it's such a blessing to be able to be alive and to be able to know the little bit of the word that we know. We don't know it all. But what we know, we ought to really believe, you know. So we can see the signs, miracles, and wonders like you do often in your life. Look at verse 8. Well, yeah. Otherwise, we'll be too long. But this is Jesus. This isn't Jesus yet, is it? This is Isaiah. But that's just these words. This whole chapter is incredible. I want to start a verse that starts with "then." But if you say "then," you got to go to verse 6. Just we'll start. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" And it is. "To loose the bands of wickedness." Boy. "To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke." And a yoke is something that would tie one animal to another animal. Break every yoke. "Loose the bands." And that's the pains of wickedness. "Undo the heavy burdens." Gosh, this is great. Is it not this fast to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that they bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? then, shall thy light break forth as in the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily." Health spring forth speedily. "And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call. The Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry. He shall say, 'Here am I,' or 'Here I am.' If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger." In New Jersey, that's a daily occasion. "Putting forth of the finger. And speaking vanity." You know, it's like, "I'm better than you, you're better than me." That's what got a lot of people in trouble when the whole ministry thing happened. "I'm what God's word says I am. So are you. How's that? That sounds good to me." Mm-hmm. Stay lighthearted. You know, look at verse 8 again. "Thine health may spring forth speedily. Thy light break forth in the morning." Boy, it helps our minds and hearts to think about what God says about us. Just breathe. Think about how he's given us, all he's blessed us with. Proverbs 15. When you go to a fellowship and you hear a teaching, are you listening to the teaching, or are you thinking of all these other verses you could come up with, or how it all ties together? Just when I go to a teaching, I just listen to the teaching. I want to hear the teaching. 15:13. Look at this. Being lighthearted will contribute greatly to our lives. in every which way. It says in verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. A cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I really don't understand that like I ought to, maybe. But it's not a good choice. The sorrow of the heart, and for the dwelling on that, I can't be good for us. But I can tell you, a merry heart maketh the cheerful countenance. When people see you, they see something different. They see someone that's filled with life. It's always fun for me to go out there in that crazy thing called the world and let it shine, let it rip, man. I just enjoy my dang life. I only got one. The only time I complain is when I'm home. I reproved myself again today about something, but that's another story. Let's on to the lightheartedness stuff, okay? Proverbs 17. Verse 22. Look at this. You know it all. I mean, you don't know it all. You know this verse. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Yeah. Look at this. A merry heart that's good like a medicine. In the Amplified, it says a happy heart is good medicine. A happy heart is good medicine. It's better than the antibiotic. Or the other drugs that say, do you so good, and then says, you know, you're going to commit suicide. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And this is the Amplified. And a cheerful mind works healing. Wow. That's a fantastic truth. So, confess the word. In closing this week, remember how important it is to say what the word says. Our confession needs to be what the word says. No matter what our senses, no matter what the circumstances around us look like, confess the word. You'll never get worse by confessing God's word. You'll never get worse by confessing what the word says. We'll only get better. So that's what I wanted to share. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you that we can be reminded again how important it is to hide the word in our hearts to the end that we think of you and that we confess what your word says rather than what our stupid senses say. Thank you this night, Father, for the healing wholeness that comes from hearing your word and being together. Thanks for your love, your grace, your forgiveness, and Father, for the wonderful hope we have that lays ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.